much for coming back into us again.
Yeah. You're welcome.
We the last time we were here, we spoke briefly about different stories. Tonight we might talk about, have you any stories about the Banshees or the Banshee?
Yes, I've heard the Banshee, you know, and that was, again, you know, I think myself that that was a bird. They used to say it was, you know, the Banshee, it was like an elderly woman weeping or something like that. And it would be always, if there was somebody going to pass away, you see, in the village or something like that.
Okay.
But you'd hear this awful, poor cry, you know,
okay,
and stuff like that. And I'll tell you a little story about that as well.
So you've heard her? Have you heard her?
Yeah, I've heard her, yes.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm...
Oh.
Ancient.
No, you're not.
No, there was a chap now, again, back along the sea at night time, you know, they'd be, we'll say during the war, yeah, an awful lot of timber used to come ashore. And shipwrecks and stuff like that, and all the men that was along the place, they'd be always out looking for timber and everything like that. But this man, he told me this story himself. He was on his way home this night anyway, and it was through the, he had to come through the Duke that I mentioned there anyway, but there was awful crying, this real crying, and he got scared, you know. And he thought it was the Banshee or something like that. But he kept coming towards it anyways, you know. And he said he was determined that he would find out what it was. Because but the cry was frightening anyway. But do you know what it was? In the time of the war, you see, they used to snare rabbits. There was great demand for shipping rabbits.
Yeah.
And they hadn't somebody a snare put down anyway, and wasn't there a rabbit caught in the snare? But there was a cat. There was a cat about to kill the rabbit, and the rabbit was roaring for mercy. And that poor, you know, and you see.
You see, there's always a reason.
Yeah. And you see, and if he went home and didn't investigate it, that would be on his mind forevermore that, yeah, you know, that there was a ghost or there was something happening in that area.
Okay.
But when he did investigate, that's what he found. The cat was about to kill the rabbits. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, because you don't really hear anybody talking about the Banshee anymore. Nobody really talks about her anymore.
Again, it was the time of the before the electricity.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That people would be out on their bikes and all they had was a very bad torch on their bike, like.
Hard.
And if the guards, when the guards then came, they started pulling fellas for lights on their bikes.
That was the most thing
the guards would be doing at the time, was stopping people. I had an uncle that was going to England one time. And it was a big thing before they went to England. They'd come back. They'd come down for a few drinks.
Right.
You know? But he knew this guard in town was new and he didn't know anybody. So as he was going home, he was stopped at the side of the school, going back to Touring Road. And he said he had no light on his bike. So he asked him for his name. And his name was John Hastings, but he said, "I'm John Jinnins, belly hip." Now, John Jinnins was a character. A real character now. But John lived with his sister and she had a bike, but John never
rode the bike.
Went anywhere but walked. He was telling me when I was young that he was very bad in the walk, and he used to say, "Jack has no one to blame for his bad legs but himself." Because he says Jack walked too many miles after the pullets. The pullets were the ladies. So anyway, that was fine. The book gave his name as John Jinnins. So maybe a month later, it was Gert Hannon, and he went up and he knocked on the door. And so there was awful excitement and panic when they seen a guard at your door that time. It was serious.
Okay.
So anyway, the guard presented Jack with the summons. He said, "I stopped you on such a night," and he said, "You had no light on your bicycle and you'd have to go to court." So Jack had a great way with words, even though he had no education, you know. So Jack said to him, "Well, now, Gert," he says, "there's one bicycle inside the four walls of this establishment, the little thatched cottage that they lived in. And he said, on that bike, he said, Jack never cocked a leg or rang a bell. And your man knew well he was got, because he knew Jack was an awful lot older than the man he actually stopped. You see.
Oh my God. But
John had a great way with words. And they reckon he only had a couple of days school because his father died when he was only very young. So he didn't go to school much, but he had some way with words.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
That was the guy's job.
Taught, oh, they were. But like,
so they brought people to port not having lights on their
bike. Oh yeah. And when the British law was in force, the guards was, or the policemen they were called in, they were very thorough in what they'd be doing. Like, just, you wouldn't understand now. But say when people was working at the sea that time, well, it was more or less, it was donkeys, it would be all donkeys that they'd be using, and they'd have straddles and cleaves on the donkeys. And the guard or the police used to come back to the sea and make them strip off the donkeys, because often you'd have maybe, we'd say, hard work with the donkeys. You know, the straddle on the back might have maybe skinned the donkey, and they could fine you if they got... If you was got with a donkey with...
Or if you had the donkey's hooves paired properly.
Paired, oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You
oh,
could
yes.
be fined, yeah.
Like...
Wow. Oh,
but yeah. there was a guard here, that same guard, he came to Lewisburg, and there was two guards always in Lewisburg at the time. But there was this guard, she used to stay in our house, actually. She came out from Clarence. She used to work in the hotel in Lewisburg, which was called McDermott's Hotel. And she was the girl that's known as Chris. But there was this fella, he was a genius at making up monologues, you know?
Okay.
So Hannon, the two guards raided Andy's. That was their big thing at the time. Raiding the pubs.
Oh, yeah.
If they were there after hours. Okay. You see? So the two guards went up anyway, and Andy was still in full flow giving out the drink. You see? So your man put this together and he wrote a little monologue. And it was called A Girl That's Known as Chris. So it was to the theme of Dangerous Dan McGrew. A bunch of the boys were mopping it up and some were having a pee. Some were dancing round the room with the girl that's known as Chris. Some were watching the old TV and some were playing cards. Andy was dishing out the drink and no one thought of the guards. Now Hannon came in like a man berserk saying, what's this all about? He was closely followed by Greeny, who made sure no one got out. The dancing ceased, the playing stopped, the cards were thrown aside, while Hannon in his notebook took the names of all inside. Andy spoke from behind the bar, and what he did say was this: there is no need to take the name of the girl that's known as Chris. She'll go away, he sadly said, and her likes will not be found on all the land from Bannerstrand right up to Ackle Sound. When she'll come back, we'll have the crack and the fun we will not miss. And once more, we'll dance around the room with the girl that's known as Chris. Now, those in the Jacks, as they called them at the time, were the lucky ones. They made an exit out the back, up the lane to Mary Kynes, like Bations and Tom Max. And it finished off, Lewisburg town is a queer old town, a church without a steeple. In every door you'll see a fool gaping at the people.
That's
a good one.
That was Mr. Joyce, wasn't it?
Chris was here. Yeah. I remember Chris when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, she worked in McDermott's for years and years. And she came from Clare Island.
Wow.
And
she got married up in Kilmaine.
She did, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Oh, that's very good.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We might talk a little bit about superstitions.
Right.
Yeah. Do you believe in superstitions?
No, I don't.
You don't? Do you think years ago...
Well, everybody did.
Did believe, know. Yeah.
Oh, everything was superstitious.
Superstitious. But I think some of it is still carried over now. Like, I think, you know, magpies. People have this thing about magpies.
Yeah,
well. And, you know, a lot of people say as well... touch wood, knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
People still do that.
They do, yeah.
Were there any superstitions years ago that people were, you know, like the walk under ladders and stuff like that.
You wouldn't cut a white thorn bush.
Yeah, that was a...
Oh, by no means to this
you
day.
You wouldn't cut it.
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
And what was the superstition?
The fairies.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you did mention that now. I know a chap that that did cut a white thorn bush.
Okay.
And he came in after, he'd be a young fella, like, and his uncle was in the house. And he came in anyways, and he told, he was boasting about what he had done, you know. And his uncle got mad at him, and he says, you shouldn't have touched that. But, of course, he wanted an explanation. And when he was trying to tell him, he'd have bad luck, you know. And that evening, this young fella went on his bicycle. He was going car playing. He went on his bicycle anyway, and didn't he? He crashed the bicycle, and I don't know. Did the mark on him? I'd say was it 7 stitches that he had to get in his forehead? You know, like. But you see.
But they blamed the white thorn.
Now, another thing as well. The chap I work with at the moment, with the digger, he won't go near.
The fairy fort.
No, the white thorn bush or anything like that. You know, he won't.
Oh, no. To this day, they won't.
They won't. No,
you
that's
see them.
Yeah.
Around the place. They won't go near them.
They won't go near them. Yeah.
Oh, no way. No. Mm. No.
No. They had superstitions with, we'd say, long ago when you'd, make a churning of butter. Now, you know, if somebody came into the house, we'd say they had to take and do a few spins at the churn, because they reckoned that if they didn't do that, the fairy would bring the water.
The braid, there was the reason they put the cross in the braid, wasn't it?
Make the cake and put a cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fish in the blessed well. Did you ever hear that one about the fish?
No.
Oh, God, yeah. If there was someone sick, and what did some people swear by it, like, you know, that... I know in Clare Island, I've heard a few stories about it. But if all hopes were lost and the doctor had given up, they'd go to the Blessed Well. And if they seen the fish, the person would get better.
Fish in the Blessed Well?
A fish in the Blessed Well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where is this Blessed Well?
There's one in Kilgeaver.
Oh, the Kilgeaver. Oh, I know that one.
Oh, there's a few around now. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But a few of them around.
But of course, Kilgeaver on the 15th of August was a big day. You know, everybody out of the household went to the Blessed Well on the 15th of August. And some people came in from Connemara, I believe, and, you know, waited overnight and stuff. Maybe if there was somebody, we'll say, sick of their people or something like that. It was very... So that was it. Now, the other when we were growing up, the cows at calf. There'd be only the couple of cows in a house. They'd have to bring out, when the cow would calf, they'd have to bring out a coal on a tongs and put it across around the cow. That was, anyways, that they believed that if they didn't do that, that maybe the fairies would come and bring the calf or something.
Wow. That's another thing. Fairies.
Yeah, well, the fairies was big business at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, the banshee,
the fairies have a lot to answer.
They have, haven't they?
Yeah. But, there was several. No, there was, I don't know what she was about, but have you ever heard of, you might have heard, Eamon, the Banyan Gower?
No, we never heard of that.
Well, that's a bird. Now, and I haven't, that's something I suppose maybe with global warming, but about just before the night and the day would part in the evening, and if you was knocking about the outside or something like that, you'd hear this, and it was a bird, and they used to call her the Banyan Gower. And she'd be flying along, whether it was her wings she made the sound, whether it was... And, you know, a goat... That's probably what she got her name from, because a goat bleating like that, but they, our parents would say, oh, the Banyan Gower has gone up, you know.
Wow.
And it's the same way with the crane or the morada. Mm-hmm. That's the other bird. And we say if you see her flying towards the hills, like, you know, there's bad weather on it. You tend to know that. And if she's flying towards the sea, the weather will be fine. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So.
She has to be flying somewhere.
She does.
But the point about it is, she'll be going, however it is in the bad weather, you'd always see her up the mountains, yeah. You know. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the old people had it all worked out.
Oh, yeah. They did. Mm. You know, the robins as well.
Yeah.
You know, when a person...
Well, they say that
a robin appears when loved ones are near, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, sure, my God, the robins, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Yeah. And the donkeys with the dorsal stripe, reckon there's a cross on every donkey's back.
Oh, there is. Mm. Definitely there's a cross on every donkey's back.
Yeah.
That's since our Lord rode.
They believed in that.
On the donkey.
You see, the donkey is a sign of peace, and the horse is a sign of war.
Oh, I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. The horse is a sign of war. And you see, of course, in the olden days, well, the donkey was peace, but the horse, you see, that was used for, we'll say, all the soldiers. That's all they had, the mode of transport. But the horse is a sign of war.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The number 13, would that have been a big...
Well, Friday the 13th was a no-no.
But I didn't know this myself. Ryanair don't have...
Flights.
No, they don't have row 13.
Well, that's...
And on, you know, the high-rise buildings, they don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah.
They skip it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And there's supposed to be, is it 13 steps to a hangman's noose? Is that where the unlucky number 13 comes from?
Well, that's something that...
Or is it 12 steps on the 13th?
And the 13th would be, well, that would be an unlucky step.
Oh, there you go.
The unlucky step.
I don't know now.
Yeah, honestly.
But I think the superstitions seem to change from county to county.
Yeah, they probably...
You know, every county seems to have... Or have different.
Yeah.
It's like, do you remember a time where there was, when somebody would pass away, that three knocks would come to the door? You remember that? The superstition about some three knocks come to the door, that it's someone to come in to take the soul?
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
And you know, you open the window to let the soul,
out.
But you have to close the window again, don't you?
Of course.
Back in.
to keep out the draft.
Of course.
These were all handed down from generation to generation. And I suppose different counties had...
I heard the story about, I think I was telling you, Eamon, about... It was here in this parish as well, where there was a new baby born, and like that, it disappeared.
Well, the fairies.
The next child that came along anyway, they were waiting for it anyway. Mm-hmm. And they stayed up anyway, but the new baby was born and everything. And the next thing, the hand appeared coming to take the... But they counteracted that. So that was... Yeah, that was supposed to be now genuine too, that did happen. Yeah.
The baby disappeared.
The baby disappeared. And then...
That's worse than the story I told.
Yeah, when the mother had her second child...
At least they left one back in place. Yeah,
the mother had the second child anyways... they could see the hand coming again, to take the baby again. But that place was haunted, I suppose, or whatever. Ah, sure. But there's loads of... Have you any other thing, Eamon, with the superstition?
Not that I can think of, no. Yeah. But superstition, no.
Yeah, but they were all things that... I know they'd be on about... We'll say, as I said, about the churn and making the butter, that it would...
When you go in the door of a house,
you had to say
you made sure you came out the same door.
That's right. I better go out the door. I came in.
Mm-hmm. It was bad luck to go out the back door. Yeah. If you came in the front door.
I remember being in a pub in England, and we used to always go in the back door, like off the back street. But we were standing in the middle, anyways, of the pub, and the paddies got out of hand. And then the row started anyways and everything. And I says to my mate anyway, I says to him, I says, we better go up. We're nearer to the front door. And I says to him, and that was superstition. He didn't want to go. I says, if you don't go out that front door, you'll be going out the front window. But they're all, you know, like anything was possible. So we got out on the hood just to get away from it. But he would maintain that he was going out the same door as he came in.
What else have I here? Rain at a funeral is a good thing. Well, the soul is happy.
What at a funeral?
Rain. You bury somebody and it's raining. That the soul is happy. Yeah. Well, it's something about washing away the grief, isn't it?
Well, it was an old saying, happy is the coffin that the rain falls on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, happy is the coffin that the rain falls on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually bear witness to that. Now, it was very, very fine weather. And I know the person, anyway, her coffin was taken out. And would you believe it, that 3 or 4 drops of rain fell on the coffin. I'm a witness to that.
They say the heavens open. That's a good thing.
And happy is the bride when the sun shines.
How happy are they when it's raining?
They wouldn't be very happy if it was raining.
And of course, the other thing about, as you did mention, the bride will say, don't they leave out the child of Prague?
That's right. And that's another superstition, isn't it?
It is.
And how many people have left out the child of Prague and the next day it's fabulous?
Just
must be something in it.
There probably is. Yeah.
Well, if you believe.
It's your belief.
But there's loads of.
Have you any more stories before we finish?
You must have.
Any more about the banshee? No.
No more about
the banshee.
That was the only thing about the banshee that, you know, somebody would pass away that they'd hear this bird crying or whatever. They thought it was a little woman that was crying. Yeah. But of course, you see, in them times as well, too, you know, at the wakes and everything, there had to be whale, and they used to call it whale, and the people would be crying as well, too.
Well, they still probably do it in places.
And of course, that time wasn't it as well, you see. I did see it. You wouldn't see it now, probably going around. You know, the cigarettes. Well, they couldn't smoke now, anyways. But they'd have plates of cigarettes, and they'd used to have chalk pipes for tobacco. Oh, yeah.
At wakes,
yeah. And then they go throwing the.
So they'd offer everybody a fag.
The plates of cigarettes would go around.
And you had to smoke.
Yeah, it was in honor of the dead. You had to smoke that cigarette. Probably some people got sick because they never had smoked one before.
Oh yeah, and before that is with
the chalk pipes
would be handed out.
Yeah, and then they'd be throwing the chalk pipes as well. That was another to start, you know, and you might get chalk pipe over the head as well as any.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That was another custom. Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have paddling for a
journey. That's another fish rug, too.
We love fish rugs.
It's a ghost story, really, I suppose.
Well, that would be a good one. Something to scare our listeners.
But they used to say there was a lady would appear with a red scarf around her neck.
At Pathrine's Bridge?
Mm.
Where's Pathrine's Bridge?
Oh, geez, that's up the country now.
That's okay.
It's not that far away. I better not say where it is.
Okay. Is it close enough?
It's very close to Lewisburg.
So what? This lady just appears at this bridge?
That's what they used to say, which has never happened. You know, I'd say someone used to lie under it to frighten somebody, more than likely.
Okay,
That was the saying, that the lady with the red scarf would appear, you know? Yeah. Tommy Gibbons, someone lied for this Tommy Gibbons. Austin knew Tommy Gibbons very well now. He might tell a story about Tommy. But Tommy wouldn't be afraid of ghosts or anything.
Tommy was...
He had the horse and cart and someone lied. And as he was passing, they came out with a white sheet or something, and he just let her shout, hit them with the whip. He said, get out of my goddamn way, you so-and-so. He wasn't having any of this. I bet you'd have something on Tommy, Austin.
Oh, well, like Tommy was a character in his day. Now, you know, you can imagine now he was when there was no EU rules on butchering or anything like that. Tommy would you know, slaughter his sheep, we'd say, and he'd cut it up and put it into little flour bags and tie it on the back of his bicycle, and he'd come all the way from Lochta cycling, and he'd deliver it and sell his meat, we'd say, to somebody in Tullabawn, Drochmichon, Ascalon, anything like that. And that's how he made his living, you know. Oh, yeah.
He told us once that he sold the leg of a ram for the leg of a lamb
to the smartest,
to the smartest woman in Lewisburg.
Brilliant.
Another time, this woman complained that the meat wasn't very nice, you know. The next week he came around, she said, "Tommy, the meat wasn't very nice. He came in last week." He said, "Ma'am, you cannot cook meat in a dirty pot."
Oh.
So he always said his answer.
Yeah, and then another woman complained. I don't know, you'd have to edit all this. And
yeah, we'll edit it.
Another woman complained anyways, that she says, "Tommy, there was wool on your mutton." And he says, "What did you expect here?"
Oh, very good.
Can I ask you brilliant. Questions?
But you spent a Christmas Eve selling meat.
Oh, I did.
He used to go around selling meat, so he booked Austin Francis this year, because Austin had a van.
Well, actually, it was Christmas. Yeah, it was the day before Christmas Eve, I think. 1964.
Okay, we're going back a bit.
Yeah. And Tommy asked me, I got a car in August of 64.
Okay.
But he asked me anyways, he says that he had 7 carcasses of meat to sell. And he asked me, would I drive him around about? So we went. Anyway, I went up and I collected Tommy, and he had the meat, as I say, very clean, because he had lots of spring water. Like, there was one thing about his meat, it was clean.
Okay.
Very clean, because he used to make out here in the town that they used to have the meat clean enough because they used to use the spring water.
Okay.
But that's another day's work. But we set off anyways, and we came down here to town. And he went into Austin Keynes anyway. And that time, way back in the 60s, you see, there never was beef sold in Lewisburg in the butcher shops, only at Christmas. Now, bear that in mind. And Michael Tom Durkin and Austin Kane, they'd both kill a beef. And then you could get a piece of beef. Like, you had to go to Westport to get a bit of beef in my day.
They only killed it at Christmas.
No, that's the truth. Anyways, he went into Austin Kane's anyways, and Austin Kane had all the beef sold. He wanted to get a little bit of beef, and he had all the beef sold anyways. And there were just what I call remnants, something, because you were this cheap. That couldn't be so. And Tommy bought the piece anyway with them, and we put it in with the mutton. So we hit the road anyway. We started off, we say, in Shry, and we kept going and going anyways, and selling from house to house and roundabout anyway. And you know where I turned the car? At the Rock Bear in Leenon. Now,
we
done all
that. You did
a
good stretch.
Yeah, that was some stretch. And we came back home again. And we headed, anyways, to Craig-on-Bone. And just to put you in the picture, that time, you see, nearly every house killed a pig for Christmas.
Yeah, okay.
So you get so definitely where he used to sell a bit of meat, they were just after killing the pig, so they weren't going to buy mutton. And, that time you could buy the sheepskins as well, and he was buying them as well. We had a compartment for them. But himself and an old gentleman anyways, and I was sitting in the car, and it was freezing, and there was really no heat in the cars in them days, but they were arguing on the side of the road anyways over 6 pence. He wanted, we'd say, 2 and 6, and he'd only give 2 shillings, you know.
Okay.
That was the money that time. But we kept going anyways until we finished up behind in Tullabawn. And on our way down, he had some meat left. Yeah, he had, you know, and wasn't there a gang of young fellas going into this house? There's nobody in the house now. They were going in Careplay. So he took the advantage anyway. He was a good salesman. In we go anyways. And he, whatever meat we had left anyways was all taken out of my chair anyways and brought in on the table, and the car played it.
Oh, happy day.
Yeah.
Wow.
The car played it. And I had to come down to Duffmacone to bring in a group of people. There was a play here in the town. And I told Mr. Gibbons, I told him that I would, when the play was over and when I'd have my crew left at home, that I'd go back and I'd fetch him home again. So by the time I got back to the house anyway, all the meat, he had it sold. It was all chair played and won somebody. And it ended up that the gentleman in the house anyways had to buy the bit of beef off him that he had bought in town. They ran out the meat. So he done that for years and years and years, you know.
But care playing was a big thing as well.
Yeah.
There'd be care playing in every house.
Yeah. Oh, that was.
But there was a care game done beside me one night, and it was a big care game now. It was from different villages game, like, you know. But they were playing for a goose.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And the goose was in the box out in the back kitchen, like, you know. And. This particular man was coming, one of the few that would be driving, you know?
Yeah.
And he was a local politician, like yourself at one time. But didn't he kill a hare on the road as he was coming back? He hit the hare with the car. Yeah. So he threw the hare into the boot anyway. And when he got to the house anyway, he went in the back door and he brought the hare with him. And he swapped the goose for the hare. Well, that happened.
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
The poor fella that won the goose anyway.
Box was never opened until the next morning. And when the boy that won the goose opened the box, he wasn't
roadkill.
He wasn't very happy.
Oh, shit. Well, they were pranks.
They used to get up to a lot of tricks. Like,
yeah.
Well, there was court cases and everything held.
Speaking about court cases, can I ask? Now, going back to the kind of scary side of things. Lewisburg, back in the day, obviously, the Stanton's Pharmacy was
the courthouse.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Was the barracks.
Yeah.
What stories would you have heard in relation to beheadings or hangings or any of that stuff that happened there back in the day? Would you have heard anything about that?
No, we didn't hear anything about... No.
No.
The most cruelest thing I heard of back in the day was when the Black and Tans were here in town, that they got a gentleman out of his bed and put him under, you know, the horse carts.
Yeah.
That's them horse carts.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Put him under the horse cart and made him pull the horse cart up and down the street in his feet. And probably maybe the poor man, they mightn't have even allowed his trousers to be put on. But that was one of the cruelest things now that I did here. Mm. But nothing about... Yeah, there was loads of court cases there, like farmers, because there was no fences at the time, no sheep wire or anything, and that's what kept, there was, every day there was somebody in there, like, for, and as Eamon alluded to, we'd say the lights on your bike or different things like that, you know, but that's the only thing now that,
Or if you were caught poaching salmon out of the river, that was major, there'd be major court cases on that.
Yeah.
Would you have got a jail time, or would it have been fined, or how would that?
Well, the other side of the coin then was, we'll say, there was always going to be a fair here in town, and to be only ever a month, I think. It mightn't be ever a month. But you see, all the chaps that come in, there'd be an awful lot of fist fighting and beating with sticks, and I know relations of my own that got jailed down to slide.
And they had names on each fact. There was different groups from different villages.
Yeah.
The Grammarstones was one. Did you ever hear
the Grammarstones? Yeah.
I think they were from the Fall Duff side, were they?
Well, there was an old house in the end of the you see, that was an Irish name as well, the Grammarstones.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
The Grammarstone. You see, nobody ever distinguished. Now, there was the Mórbhornaíochs as well, and I think Mórbhornaíoch was the Gaelic for Gordon. Now, that's what I was told.
Okay.
Yeah, the Grammarstones and the Mórbhornaíochs. But, like, that's what kept the court cases going, we'd say. like the like beach.
It was told anyway that there was two particular groups that was.
There'd be faction fights.
Oh, really, really into it. But they one crowd thought they'd catch the others out. They decided on Christmas Day they'd attack. Nobody be waiting for them. But there was it's on Bridge Street in Lewisburg.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lewisburg boys were ready for them. They must have got wind of it, yes. You know?
Yeah, they had a telegraph, got.
Yeah, but they reckon there was actually someone killed.
I think
so. And that stopped it, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was just to be told.
There's
whether that's right or wrong.
I was told it as well that there was a bad beating done. Now, it's up on the road I go out, and it was one of my, I'd say, granduncles, you know, that got a bad beating. Because no more than a thing, I'd say he was the cause of it. Like they love fighting the group, but there's an old bush grew where there was blood spilled. They reckon too that if there was blood spilled, that a bush would grow there. And I think to this very day, I do pass it, that bush is still there.
Stop.
Oh yeah, yeah, wow. That's correct. Yes,
I never heard that before.
Yeah, yeah.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
See, all them stores are dying out.
They are. You see, nobody.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember years ago, you'd hear stories like that at the station?
Yeah, sure. That's
so, like, stations are gone, great. And, you know.
You know, all that is, it's a shame, really, because it's all gone.
When the priest did leave the stations, they'd throw the tongs after him. Fire the tongue. When he'd gone out the door, they'd fire the tongs after him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear that one?
Now, why was that?
I did. No, and the olden...
They could start partying then.
Yeah. Oh. I see. Okay.
Yeah. That was another pishrug, as you did mention it. You know, when you was going somewhere, we'd say that people would throw any type of a bit of iron after you. Yeah?
Okay. And the tongs. Oh, yeah. The tongs are the usual one.
Yeah. And the other...
For good luck.
Yeah. The other thing was, we'd say long ago, when you were going to a fair to sell cattle, if you met a woman in the morning, it wasn't good luck.
Is it not just redheads then?
Well, yeah, if there was, yeah.
You'd have to go home then.
Yeah, that you wouldn't sell.
Oh, you have no luck for the day if you met a redhead on your travels. Or a
and I know a person that used to love to meet, and this person used to make it her business to be out to meet such a man. You know, he'd be going to the fair. And, like, you know, and I suppose it was, he didn't take it as a push-up, but he always got a great price if he met her, you know. So.
Oh, so there was some lucky women in it.
Yeah.
But that was another push-up, yeah.
Oh, and another thing was the weasel.
Oh, sure.
The weasel.
Mm. If you were going on a journey,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if a weasel crossed the road in front of you, they'd turn and come home.
And of course
that was bad luck.
Bad luck.
The black cat then was another thing. Yeah.
It was good luck.
That's still a thing.
Black cat.
The weasel was
definitely... I've never heard about the weasel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bad luck, yeah.
And there was another story I was told. When you see about the weasel out in the field, there was, you know, long ago when farmers would be out in the field, they'd always bring out a can of skidgin with them.
So the milk and water.
Milky water. Warm milky water.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Skidgin, yeah. And, the man had it. Them times the tinsmiths, they made a lovely little small can and a hoop can. There was a big can and they called it a hoop can. And then there was a smaller can, like a milk, you know, small milk can. But the man had his, he had his can of, anyways, under maybe a stook of oats or something like that. This now was a story that was told.
Okay.
So hadn't she her nest of young in the field? And he was with his scythe or his reap or something anyway. And, didn't she think that the farmer was going to kill the babies on her?
Okay.
Anyway, and what did she do anyway? But she went and she spat into the... They reckon there's the weasel spit that there's poison in it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And didn't she spit into the milk anyways? So she was going to have her own back. But this is the way the story went anyway. However, or whoever thought of this.
Yeah.
But definitely anyway, the farmer didn't do anything to the babies anyways. And she went and she turned the can of milk on him then. So now that's
it. Wow.
But the weasel spit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's not many of them around.
Yeah. But that's of course, sure. There isn't a weasel, they say, in this country at all. Stoats. It's a stoat.
Yeah. The stoat.
They're stoats. They're not weasels. Yeah. And I don't know, there was some other word in they used to use. I think if you did see one of them, you'd say, Chukin Bani Osel. That's what there was the Irish for. Well, Bani Osel must be the Irish for a weasel. No, I'm not into Irish. Never could. Chucky Bani Osel. Yeah. So.
There you go.
Paul Talk.
Let me see. Have we touched on everything? Thank you very much for joining us this evening. If you think of any other stories, you might come back and talk to us again.
Oh, of course. Yeah. There's loads of them if you could think of them, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. But anyway, look at it. If anything comes into your head, jot it down or whatever, we can maybe bring you back again. So thanks very much for joining us this evening. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for
Thank
having
you.
Us here. Lovely.
Good night.
Good night.